This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah, in our series on the Shama'il, which we intend to finish inshallah before Ramadan, we're on chapter number 43, which is the chapter following the chapters on salawat, on the prayers that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to perform during the day. This particular chapter is on the chapter of fasting. Babun ma ja'a fi sawmi Rasulillah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, chapter 43. This has about 16 hadith in this chapter, so it's a relatively longer chapter, but the hadith are very self-explanatory. So inshallah we'll be covering some of these hadith today. The question is that in this book, the author doesn't mention a chapter on the zakat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's no chapter about zakat. There's a chapter on salat. There's a chapter on all of these other subjects. There's now a chapter on the fasting, but there's no chapter on zakat. So one of the reasons for that is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, zakat apparently is not wajib on the anbiya, because they don't possess any personal wealth. They have wealth that comes to them, but they either use whatever they need to use and then they give the rest away. They distribute it according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to distribute it. The other thing is that the wealth that does come to them, they don't even consider it theirs. They don't look at it as, this is my wealth, I've got more wealth today, I've got this for myself. Whatever they see in their hands that Allah gives them, they just see it that Allah has given them something to look after, something to distribute, and that's how they have to administrate it. So they spend it when it's necessary to spend it, when there's a need, that's what they do. The other thing is that zakat means purity, purification. Purification of the wealth that you have, and also purification of the sins. So when we give zakat, not only are we purifying our wealth from any haram wealth or any doubtful wealth that may have come in there, but we're also purifying ourselves. The prophets don't need that. The prophets don't need purification. They are already pure. They don't have any form of defect. That is also the reason why, according to the Hanafi school, there is no zakat for children. A child can be a millionaire, he could have thousands of pounds in savings from gifts or from shares or whatever it is that he has or she has. There is no zakat on the wealth of children in the Hanafi school. Purely for this reason, that they are not in need of zakat. Zakat, purification. They're not in need of it. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Nahnu ma'ashir al-anbiya la nurith ma tarakna sadaqa." We, the group of prophets, us prophets, we do not leave inheritance. Whatever we leave is sadaqa. So our children can't lay claim to what we have. We don't leave any inheritance. So you can understand that. When you see these extremely pious people that we've heard about in history, where they also used to get money, but they used to spend it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They used to spend it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't consider the wealth theirs. They consider it to be sent. Allah gives it to you that you can use it to gain some blessings in the hereafter. It's related from Imam Shafi'i and Imam Ahmad. Imam Ahmad Ibn Hanbal was a student of Imam Shafi'i for a while. They loved each other. They had a very great relationship. Though they moved, then Imam Ahmad went to Baghdad. Imam Shafi'i was in Egypt. But when they were together, they were sitting down once together when this really famous ascetic, very famous individual who didn't care about the world too much, whose name was Shayban, he was a shepherd, Shayban al-Ra'i, he came along. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal said to Imam Shafi'i, I want to ask this man a question. Everybody is talking about him. You know, everybody's talking about his status. I want to ask him a question. Imam Shafi said, don't bother, don't ask him a question. Like, leave it, don't ask him a question. No, he said, I have to ask him a question. So then he went up to him and said, Ya Shayban, ma taqulu fi man nasiya arba' sajdat min arba'i raka'at. What would you say? He asked him a fatwa. He said, what would you say about the person who forgot to make 4 sajdas in 4 rak'ats? He missed 4 sajdas in 4 rak'ats. What do you have to do? So he said, Ya Ahmed, this is a totally heedless, negligent heart. Totally negligent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can you make such a mistake? Somebody who misses 4 sajdas in 4 rak'ats? He must be an extremely negligent heart, totally heedless of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ignoring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَجِبُ أَن يُؤَدَّبْ حَتَّى لَا يَعُودِ إِلَى مِثْلِ ذَلِكَ. So his answer wasn't a fiqhi answer, wasn't a, is his salat valid or invalid? He didn't answer it like that. He said, this must be a very bad heart. It is necessary that he be disciplined. He be disciplined until he never does this again. So that was his answer. When Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal heard this, for us it's a joke, but when Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal heard this, he fell down and fainted. He fell unconscious. Thinking about his state, that I would have answered this in a fiqhi sense, look at this person's connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he just cannot understand how such a person, how any person could be so heedless that he's in salat, knowing he's in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the intention that I'm making these 2-4 rakats for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he still misses 4 sajdas. How is that possible? He should definitely be beaten up. So Imam Ahmad is thinking, well, my mind didn't reach there. He fell and he fainted. When he came back to consciousness, he said, okay, I have another question for you. مَا تَقُولْ فِي مَنْ لَهُ أَرْبَعُونَ شَاتًا. What would you say about somebody who has 40 sheep? Now, zakat on sheep is that for every 40 sheep, there's a sheep. That's the nisab. You know, you have gold nisab and silver nisab, after which you have to pay zakat. For sheep, it's 40. So what would you say? He just tests him like, okay, what kind of an answer would he give there? What would you say to the person who has 40 sheep? So Shayban said to him, what madhab do you want me to answer on? A'ala madhabina aw ala madhabikum? Do you want me to respond to you on my madhab, according to my point of view, or to your school of thought? So Imam Ahmad said, why? Is there 2 madhabs about this? Are there 2 opinions about this? It's very clear in the hadith. So why would there be 2 opinions about this? So then he said, yes, of course there are 2 opinions about this. There are 2 schools of thought. أَمَّا عَلَى مَذْهَبِكُمْ فَفِي الْأَرْبَعِينَ شَاتًا شَاتٌ. As far as your madhab is concerned, every 40 sheep, he has to give 1 sheep. وَأَمَّا عَلَى مَذْهَبِنَا. As far as my madhab is, our madhab is concerned, the way we would approach this is, فَالْعَبْدُ لَا يَمْلِكُ مَعَ سَيِّدِهِ شَيْئًا. A servant of Allah can never own anything from his master. He's a servant. He's a slave. He can't have ownership over anything. It's all his master's. So his thought process was totally different. He was always thinking as a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the fasting is the month which is coming up anyway, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about fasting in the Quran. Fasting essentially is not an act that you do, it's something which you don't do. It's something that you stop eating, so you don't eat, no drink, no sexual intercourse. To weaken the nafs, to put some pressure on it, so that we can try to straighten it out, get it used to doing the right thing. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. The one who fears the station of his Lord and who prohibits his self from desires, who stops his self from fulfilling desires, Jannah is his place. That is the purpose of fasting. That is the purpose of fasting. The other thing I want to mention before we start is a very famous hadith in which just explains the rewards of fasting. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah says, "Fasting is for me, as-sawmu li wa ana ajzi bihi." Fasting is for me, and I will reward for it. Why didn't the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam relate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anything else like this about other worships? Salat is also for Allah. Fasting is of course for Allah, but salat, zakat, hajj, all of these things are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not say the same for the other worships and only for the sake of only about fasting? There's a number of reasons that have been attempted, a number of explanations that have been attempted about this. First and foremost, some say that it's not something that any other religion uses to worship their Lord with. It's not a worship that anybody else has done for the sake of another Lord. Yeah, Allah says in the Quran that it's been prescribed upon you like it was prescribed upon the people before you, but that was obviously for Allah, prescribed by Allah for them. But no other religion uses fasting as a form of worship for their Lord. They may prostrate, they may bow down, they may do a sacrifice, they do all of these other things, but they don't stop eating purely for that sake. Now, this is obviously somebody's explanation. He may have not seen all of the religions of the world, and you may find a religion that, but generally speaking, that's the case. That for any other god, they won't stop fasting. They might go and put some gifts there, and put some food there, and put blankets on top, and flowers on top, and everything, but they won't fast. Number two, it's a very internal act that you can't see outside. Salat, you can definitely tell. Zakat, hajj, you can see. You can show others. So it's very difficult to show off with fasting. Because if you want to show off, you don't have to be fasting. Just lie about it. Just say, I'm fasting today, and go and have a big lunch. So you don't have to fast. But for salat, if you want to show off, you have to do it. So because this is an inaction. The other thing is that in order to show off in this, you have to take an extra step. When you're fasting, people aren't, I mean, Ramadan is Ramadan, everybody fasting, you can't show off in Ramadan. It'd be quite foolish not to fast in Ramadan. But outside the month, if you're going to do Nafl fasts, you'd have to actually say something, you'd have to tell someone, you have to make an expression to tell them that I'm doing this. It's not by default that people will know. Whereas you start Salat, people might, and immediately in your heart, if it's a nafl or tahajjud, in your heart it's going to come, people are going to see me, they're going to think I'm like this, sadaqah, same. It's just by default, that kind of a shaitan can affect you much faster. But in the fasting, it's less influence, because you have to do something extra. The thought can't just come in your mind like that, because you'd have to actually tell somebody that I'm fasting to show off. Another reason is given is that since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from eating, He doesn't eat Himself. So since this is also a worship that seems to be very close to one of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of not having to eat. So that is maybe why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said so. That fasting is for me, because you're copying me. Anyway, let's start the first hadith. This was the 43rd chapter of the kitab that we're going to look at, hadith number 305. Let's quickly read some of these ahadith. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. باب ما جاء في صوم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبه قال حدثنا قتيبة بن سعيد قال حدثنا حماد بن زيد عن أيوب عن عبد الله بن شقيق قال سألت عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها عن صيام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قالت كان يصوم حتى نقول قد صام ويفطر حتى نقول قد أفطر قالت وما صام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم شهرا كاملا منذ قدم المدينة إلا رمضان وبه قال حدثنا علي بن حجر قال حدثنا إسماعيل بن جعفر عن حميد بن أنس بن مالك أنه سئل عن صوم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال كان يصوم من الشهر حتى نرى أن لا يريد أن يفطر منه ويفطر حتى نرى أن لا يريد أن يصوم منه شيئا وكنت لا تشاء أن تراه من الليل مصليا إلا رأيته مصليا ولا نائما إلا رأيته نائما وبه قال حدثنا محمود بن غيلان قال حدثنا أبو داود قال حدثنا شعبة عن أبي بشر قال سمعت سعيد بن جبير عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنه قال كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصوم حتى نقول ما يريد أن يفطر منه ويفطر حتى نقول ما يريد أن يصوم منه وما صام شهرا كاملا منذ قدم المدينة إلا رمضان وبه قال حدثنا محمد بن بشار قال حدثنا عبد الرحمن بن مهدي سفيان منصور سالم بن أبي الجعد عن أبي سلمة عن أم سلمة رضي الله عنها قالت ما رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصوم شهرين متتابعين إلا شعبان ورمضان. قال أبو عيسى هذا إسناد صحيح وهكذا قال من قال عن أبي سلمة عن أم سلمة وروى هذا الحديث غير واحد نبي سلمة عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. ويحتمل أن يكون أبو سلمة بن عبد الرحمن قد روى هذا الحديث عن عائشة وأم سلمة جميعا عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. وبه قال حدثنا هناد قال حدثنا عبدة محمد بن عمرو قال حدثنا أبو سلمة عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت لم أرى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصوم في شهر أكثر من صيامه لله في شعبان. كان يصوم شعبان إلا قليلا بل كان يصومه كله. وبه قال حدثنا القاسم بن دينار الكوفي قال حدثنا عبد الله بن موسى وطلق بن غنام عن شيبان عاصم أن زر بن حبيش عن عبد الله قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصوم من غرة كل شهر 3 أيام وكلما كان يفطر يوم الجمعة. So we started with hadith number 305, which is related from Abdullah ibn Shaqiq, Ayyub ibn Abdullah ibn Shaqiq. He went and asked Aisha radiallahu anha. He said, I asked Aisha radiallahu anha about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's fasting. Tell me about how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast. She said, Kana yasumu hatta naqul. He used to fast until, he used to fast so frequently one after the other, until we would say, Qad sama, that he's going to continue fasting. That he's going to regularly just keep fasting. So he used to keep fasting like that until we used to think he's going to carry on fasting. And then wayuftir. And then sometimes he would stop fasting for so many days until we would say qad aftara, that he has stopped fasting now. So it wasn't any particular pattern. This hadith is talking about no particular pattern that he would always fast here, there and the other. This one is very general. I used to fast sometimes for a long time and then used to stop fasting for a long time. There's another hadith in Muslim, Sahih Muslim, from the Abdullah ibn Shaqiq. He said, I asked Aisha radiallahu anha, did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam fast any particular month? Shahran ma'luman. Was there a particular month? Sha'ban, Rajab, Rabi' al-Awwal. Did he fast a particular month except Ramadan? We know about Ramadan. Did he fast any other month? She said, Wallahi, in Sama shahran ma'luman siwa Ramadan, hatta mada li wajih. There was no other month in which he fasted specifically except Ramadan until he left. There was no month where he fasted completely or totally did not fast except Ramadan. Another narration in Muslim from the same narrator, he says to Aisha radiallahu anha, did Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast any month completely? First question was about which other month did he fast in? This one is, did he fast another month completely? We've already got the answer. She said, I don't know of any month in which he fasted completely the whole month except Ramadan. Or any month in which he did not fast the complete month until he went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then she said, وَمَا صَامَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ شَهْرًا كَامِلًا. Going back to the original hadith where she said, he used to fast for a number of days until we thought he's going to continue fasting. He used to stop until we used to think he stopped. Then she says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never fasted a complete month until he came to Medina. Sorry, since he came to Medina. He has not fasted a complete month since he's come to Medina Munawwara. The reason why she's saying until he's come to Medina, since he's come to Medina Munawwara is because she didn't know what he used to do before that. Because she wasn't living with him before Medina Munawwara. She only moved in to live with him after they moved to Medina Munawwara, even though she was married to him for 3 years before that. So she says that until we came to Medina, since we've come to Medina Munawwara, he has not fasted any complete month except Ramadan. So that tells us, just keep this hadith in mind, because just like with the how many raka'ats he used to do at night, there's a lot of difference of opinion about what different people saw. So we're going to have to try to reconcile. This one, he's saying that he did not fast for any complete month other than Ramadan. The next hadith is 306. which is related from Anas ibn Malik. So the same names, because they're the ones who stayed close to him. They would know. These are the people inside the house. They would know the nafl prayers. They would know the fasting. So Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu said that he was once asked about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's fasting by someone. Someone asked him. And he said, he used to fast so much in a particular month until we used to think that he is never going to stop fasting. Until we used to think that he doesn't want to stop fasting. And he used to then stop fasting in a particular month until we used to think that he's not going to fast a single day of that month. He's going to spend the whole month without fasting. That's what we used to think. And then, just to give you an example of what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's habit, procedure, and custom was, he says, he carries on, he says, وَكُنْتَ لَا تَشَاءَ أَن تَرَاهُ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مُصَلِّيًا إِلَّا رَأَيْتَهُ مُصَلِّيًا. He was such that if you wanted to see him fasting in the night, I'm sorry, if you wanted to see him praying in the night, you'd be able to see him do that. And if you wanted to see him sleeping, then you would see him sleeping as well. Meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not on some kind of rigid schedule to make it difficult on his ummah that this was the schedule of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he never differed from. Because if there was a perfect schedule like that, it may have become fard like that. It may have become obligatory. So he did this sometimes, and that's why we read from the previous chapter, sometimes he used to make his tahajjud in the beginning of the night and go to sleep. Sometimes, most of the time, he used to wake up in the middle. Sometimes at the end. Sometimes he'd make this many rakats, sometimes other rakats. So that is very clear from this hadith. He's just trying to give us an example of what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do. Now, even in this, it says that if you want to see him fasting, you'll be able to see. If you want to see him praying, you'll be able to see him praying. If you want to see him sleeping, you'll be sleeping. That doesn't mean that he used to pray the whole night or sleep the whole night. He's saying that there were some times that you would see him sleeping, sometimes you'd see him fasting. You'd see him praying as well. Right, the next hadith is hadith number 307, which is related from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Again, even in the Salat when it was Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu who used to know about that. Anas ibn Malik, Aisha radiallahu anha, the famous names. They're the ones who know about these internal worships. So in this one, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yasumu hatta naqul ma yuridu an yuftir. Similar. He used to fast so much until we used to say that he doesn't want to stop fasting, and he used to then stop fasting until we used to say that ma yuridu an yasum, that he doesn't want to fast anymore. Oh, he doesn't want to fast anymore. He's like, he stopped for so long. That's quite surprising. He stopped fasting. Ban kari didu. So they say, don't they? وَمَا صَامَ شَهْرًا كَامِلًا مُنْذُ قَدِمَ الْمَدِينَ إِلَّا رَمَضَانَ. He says the same thing. Maybe he saw this himself. Maybe he relates this. Maybe he learned this from Aisha radiallahu anha. He said, and since he came to Medina Munawwara, he hasn't fasted a full month, like for 30 days, full days, 29 full days, no month except Ramadan. Did he fast the full thing? There's another narration of Imam Abu Dawud separately. From Urwa, he says that he asked Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu an, that did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fast in Rajab? Rajab, Sha'ban, Ramadan. Did he fast in Rajab? He said yes. He's actually look forward to it. He used to fast in Rajab. He mentioned this three times. There's another narration of Abu Qilaba. Abu Qilaba is a tabi'i, he's not a sahabi. He says, he relates this really ajib narration, which could have only been heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because you can't make something like that up. And he's a very famous tabi'i, he's not going to make something up, so he must have heard it from a source. He says that, إِنَّ فِي الْجَنَّةِ قَصْرًا لِسُوَّامِ رَجَبْ. There is a special palace in paradise for those who fasted Rajab. Now you might be thinking, if you've got your own paradise, what is this special paradise for those who fast in Rajab? It could mean that you'll get another special paradise within your paradise. You'll get a special palace in your paradise because you fasted Rajab. Or it could mean that there is another paradise that you could go to if you, when you wanted to, because you fasted Rajab. And that is, you're a wealthy person, you've got a membership in this club, that restaurant, that place. So you can go, you fly with this airlines, you can go into the lounge. It's that kind of a thing. It could be that kind of a thing, that you've got access to all of these places because you're a fasting person, you fasted in Rajab, you got special, you know, VIP lounge for you here, you know, this is the special one for that. But remember, all of these special VIP lounges, I mean, that's why somebody said the other day, the only way you're going to get into Jannatul Firdaus if you want it, and all of these special lounges if you want them, is you're going to have to do something extra. If you're just doing your basic, inshallah we'll get to Jannah. But if you want higher, then that's what you have to do. You don't get gold card, platinum card membership unless you make a certain amount of money. To make a certain amount of money, you must work that much harder. To get a gold card, you need to make, what, 30,000, 40,000 pounds, or there's a certain amount. To get a platinum, then they check your stuff and everything. You can get a normal credit card, but you're not going to get a gold standard. You're not going to get a platinum card. You're not going to get membership to all these places. You have to make 100,000 a year to be able to even be considered. So, I mean, in the hereafter, okay, you'll get in to Jannah, alhamdulillah. Unless we just say, well, alhamdulillah. Anyway, it's eternal. There's no chance after that. There's eternal, so let's aim for the highest. May Allah give us the tawfiq. Sometimes I wonder that I'll get left behind. I tell everybody everything and then they might do it and I get left behind. So you need to make dua for me as well. Allah take us all to Jannatul Firdaus. So yes, they'll get this special palace that is just specially for those who used to fast Rajab. And as I mentioned, Abu Qilaba is from the great Tabi'een. He could not have said this unless he heard it from somewhere, as Imam Bayhaqi mentions. But then there's another hadith from Ibn Majah, from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, who says that the Prophet ﷺ prohibited from fasting in Rajab. But that one is not really from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's Abdullah ibn Abbas's statement for some reason. Unless he means prohibit fasting the whole month. The next hadith is hadith number 308, which is related from Abu Salama. Who is Abu Salama here? This Abu Salama is not the husband of Ummu Salama. This Abu Salama is the son of Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Abdurrahman ibn Auf, radiallahu anhu, one of the 10, it's his son. He relates from Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, another wife of, I mean, these ahadith can only be found through the wives and through the khadims. So Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, she says that ما رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يسوم شهرين متتابعين. I've never seen Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم fasting for two consecutive months. So many fast in two complete months, in 2 months together, except Sha'ban and Ramadan. Ramadan has to be one of them. So Sha'ban and Ramadan, and we know that in Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to fast a lot in Sha'ban as well in preparation for Ramadan. So she says that there were two consecutive months, they were the most that he used to fast. And this doesn't prove that he fasted the whole month of Sha'ban. It just means he did it so much it seemed like he was doing 2 months of fast together. So, but then this goes against what was said before from Aisha radiallahu anha and Anas radiallahu anhu, saying that the Prophet ﷺ never fasted any other month beside Ramadan fully, the whole month. So what can be the reason now? I'm sure you should be able to work these things out now, because we've done so many of these ahadith reconciliations. First and foremost, it's possible that Ummu Salama radiallahu anha knew something that Ibn Abbas and Aisha radiallahu anha didn't for some reason. Right? Maybe he just revealed it to her and didn't reveal it. It's possible. But that sounds far-fetched, because Aisha radiallahu anha was very close to him. It's impossible he's going to hide the fast from her. What she's saying then is that he didn't fast the whole of Sha'ban. He himself has prohibited that. But he fasted most of it. And when you fast most of it, you can actually say pretty much he fasted the whole thing. So this was an expression about fasting most of it and then all of Ramadan, as though he just fasted for 2 whole months. After this particular narration, Imam Tirmidhi has a comment to make. He says, Abu Isa said, which is himself. Abu Isa says, he relates himself. He says that this hadith, the chain of it is sahih, according to Bukhari and Muslim's chains. And this is exactly as it was related from Abu Salama, from Ummu Salama. And there's a number of later narrators who have transmitted this hadith from Abu Salama, from Aisha radiallahu anha, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as well. And it's also possible that Abu Salama ibn Abd al-Rahman did relate this hadith from Aisha and Ummu Salama, both of them together, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So if he's also relating it from Aisha, and Aisha radiallahu anha earlier said he didn't fast any month completely, then the only thing it can mean is that she's saying most of this fast, most of this month, and then the 2 months were together seen as two consecutive months. The next hadith is hadith number 309, which is related from Abu Salama again, from Aisha radiallahu anha, who said that لَمْ أَرَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَسُومُ فِي شَهْرٍ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ فِي شَعْبَانٍ. There you go. This clarifies it more. I've never seen him fast in any month more than he used to fast in the month of Sha'ban. So out of all of the other months besides Ramadan, Sha'ban was the most fasted in terms of number of days. That means the fasting in Sha'ban is superior to fasting in Rajab. You start fasting so much in Rajab, by Ramadan you'll be really tired. But if you fast a number of days in Sha'ban, then it gives you practice for Ramadan. In fact, in hadith of Muslim, related from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. You see, until now, all of the hadith have been description of Rasulullah's fast. None of them was about, it's this much fadila if you fast in this month, it's this much virtue if you fast this month, you'll get this much reward. No, it's been, what did Rasulullah do? Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So far, all of the hadith have been what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's practice was. This hadith of Abu Hurairah, he says that أَفْضَلُ الصِّيَامِ بَعْدَ رَمَضَانِ صَوْمُ شَهْرِ اللَّهِ الْمُحَرَّمِ وَأَفْضَلُ الصَّلَاةِ بَعْدَ الْفَرِيدَ صَلَاةُ اللَّيْلِ. He's saying that the best month to fast in after Ramadan is Muharram. And the best prayer after the Fard prayers is the night prayer. So Imam Nawawi, he says that he's saying this, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself is being related to have fasted mostly in Sha'ban and not in Muharram. So how do you reconcile the two? He says that it's possible that the fadila of Muharram was only found out to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the end of his life. So earlier on he would just do Sha'ban more, but later on when he was told Muharram as well, so then maybe at the end he mentioned that. So Abu Hurairah, who came into Islam at the last few years of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life, that's why he's relating that. So it's fine. The practice of his throughout his life was to do more in Sha'ban. Then later on he found out about this, he mentioned it, and Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu recorded it. So it's something that he was told about later on. Or the other possibility is that maybe he just wasn't, because he was traveling and other things during Muharram, he wasn't able to fast that much, and that's why he didn't practically fast that much, even after knowing. But in Sha'ban he was able to fast because he stayed. Allah knows best. But the main thing is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to definitely fast a lot in the month of Sha'ban. It's related from Imam Tabarani, from Aisha radiallahu anha. She says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast 3 days of every month. Then he used to fast the month of Sha'ban out of respect for the month of Ramadan. So it's like you do nafil prayers before a fard prayer. That is how you, that's how he used to take the months of the fasting of Sha'ban like that as well. That is why there's a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked that which fasting is the most superior after the fasting of Ramadan, and he said Sha'ban li ta'zimi Ramadan. Sha'ban out of respect for Ramadan, out of honor, in honor of Ramadan. Anyway, going back to the hadith of that we were covering, which is the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha again. She then carries on and says that كَانَ يَسُومُ شَعْبَانَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا بَلْ كَانَ يَسُومُهُ كُلُّهُ. He used to fast just about the whole of Ramadan. In fact, he used to fast the whole of Ramadan. So she says that he used to fast Sha'ban except a bit. بَلْ كَانَ يَسُومُهُ كُلُّهُ. No, he used to fast the whole thing. Abdullah ibn Abbas is saying he never fasted a complete month. She herself said he didn't fast a complete month. And this one, she's saying he used to fast the whole, used to fast nearly the whole thing except a bit. He used to fast the whole thing. So it's possible then that earlier he never fasted the whole month ever. And that's why she mentioned that earlier on. Then it came a time when he fasted the whole month of Sha'ban once. So then she mentioned, you know, she was saying, you know, the Prophet ﷺ used to fast the Sha'ban, most of it except a few. In fact, no, he did the whole thing. It's that kind of a thing. Later, one time, he must have done the whole thing. So that's how she mentioned it. That's how you can reconcile the two hadiths. Or she's just exaggerating. She's saying, first she was trying to be very particular. He used to fast the whole month except a few days. In fact, you can say he fasted the whole month. We say that in our speech anyway. So she was either just kind of rounding it off. You missed 2 or 3 days, that means what? You still fasted like the whole month. So that's how she was explaining it. The next hadith is hadith number 310. Now in that one, that is related from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. After all of the younger Sahaba, Abdullah ibn Abbas and so on, who were related to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu wasn't related to him, but he was so close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he was able to go into the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's house whenever he wanted. So he was very close to Rasulullah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to trust him highly. So he relates that كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يسوم من غرة كل شهر ثلاثة أيام. So now we've moved away from the Sha'ban and from the months. Now we've moved on to another topic. So he's saying that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to fast from the غرة of every month 3 days. So what does غرة mean? He used to fast the غرة of every month for 3 days. So 3 days every month. غرة refers to, one opinion, the stronger opinion, is that it refers to the beginning of the month. So from the beginning of every month, he fasted the first 3 days. However, there's another hadith coming from Aisha radiallahu anha, who says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to fast from every month, the Saturday and the Sunday and the Monday. So the first month he would fast a Saturday, Sunday and Monday. I don't know if that's for the people in the West. Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday. Actually, it's probably Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Right, so Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, she says. First month like that. The second month, he fasted Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So in 1 month, he would fast Saturday, Sunday, Monday, then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the next month. That's related. Then it's related by Imam Abu Dawud, Imam Nasa, and Imam Ahmad, from Hafsa radiallahu anha, that he used to fast 3 days from every month, the first Monday from the first month, and wal khamis wal ithnain. What is yawm al khamis? Thursday wal ithnain. Sorry, the way he used to do it was, yeah, he used to fast 3 days of every month, the first Monday of the month and the first Thursday of the month. So Monday and Thursday of the month. And then in the next week, he used to fast the Monday only. So Monday, Thursday, Monday. Those were the 3 days of the month. Monday, Thursday, Monday. Aisha radiallahu anha said, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So no Friday. She, Hafsa radiallahu anha, is saying Monday and Thursday and then Monday. From each, the first Monday, Thursday, Monday of every month. So it looks like he did different things, or because he wasn't at every wife's house every day, except after Asr. So it's possible that he did this day and she reckoned that he only fasted on that day, and that's why she said this and she said this. Or it's also possible that he did different days. And that's why Aisha radiallahu anha, when she put everything together, she just said that if you wanted to see him fast, you'd see him. And if you didn't want to see him fast, you'd see him like that as well. So he did different things. Now you must understand why you have four madhabs. Because the ahadith are so conflicting in different cases. So not everybody's going to reach the same conclusion when they try to put the hadith together and try to understand which is the one, how you follow them and so on. Right, Another meaning of ghurra. Ghurra generally refers to light, illuminated. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, make sure you wash properly and extend your washing so that on the Day of Judgment you'll be ghurram muhajjaleen. Which actually refers to horses that have the nice white patches on them. They're considered the best of horses. So, whiteness. So what is the white? The ghurra refers to white of the month. It means the 3 days in the middle of the month, which is seems to be the more practiced opinion nowadays. So it's talking about the 13th, 14th and 15th of every month is being spoken about here. That is what she means. That's another opinion. That is why the Prophet ﷺ said in another hadith to a desert Arab, he said, "In kunta sa'iman fasum al-ghur ay al-biyud." If you are going to fast every month, then fast the white days, which means the white night days, 13, 14, 15. Sorry, what is it? 13, 14, 15, yeah. Aisha radiallahu anha, she just puts it all together. She says that she was asked, did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam fast 3 days in every month? She said, yes. Which days? She said, he used to fast, and it didn't matter which days he fasted, but he just fasted 3 days of every month. In a hadith of Muslim, it says, لَمْ يَكُنْ يُبَالِي مِنْ أَيَّ أَيَّامِ الشَّهْرِ يَسُومُ. He did not really care about which 3 days he fasted out of the month. So there is a big difference of opinion about which 3 days. So one thing we have to agree on is that you should fast 3 days every month. That is more of a sunnah than fasting Monday and Thursday. And now you should know why. Because it's established from so many narrations that he fasted for 3 days. But there's a difference of opinion as to what those 3 days were. So some have said the Monday, Thursday, Monday. Some have said 13, 14, 15, right? Some have said these other, the first 3 days of the month. You've got all of these possibilities. So what I would say is that if you are only going to fast 3 days of every month, then fast the 3 days, maybe the middle 3 days, or any of the other 3 days you can do. If you're going to fast more, then fast Monday and Thursdays, and the middle 3 days of the month. So that way you do fulfill whatever has been mentioned. There's a hadith of Jarir in which it mentions the Ayyamul Bid. And that is, Ayyamul Bid means the middle 15 days. That seems to be the kind of stronger opinion, because that was the opinion of Umar ibn al-Khattab, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, Abu Dhar al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu. There's a hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. He says that it's the first Monday in the month and then the two Thursdays after that. So that's the third opinion. That's the fourth opinion. The first Monday and then the two Thursdays after that. Monday, Thursday, Thursday. Imam Nakhai, he's another scholar, Nakhai, he says the last 3 days of the month. Hassan al-Basri, he said the first days of the month. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, in another version, Saturday and Sunday and Monday, which we've read already before. Saturday, Sunday and Monday. Then, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, in the next month. Ummu Salama said, the first Thursday, then the Monday after it, Thursday, Monday, Monday. So we had a Monday, Thursday, Thursday, a Thursday, Monday, Monday. But you can tell Monday and Thursday holds a lot of importance, it seems. Some say the first 3 days of the month, the first day of the month, then the 10th and then the 20th. Some say 1, 11 and 21. So you've got so many opinions of ulama trying to find out which 3 days are the best ways. Then she says, وَقَلَّمَا كَانَ يُفْتِرُ يَوْمَ الْجُمُعَةِ. This is the final hadith. Very seldom did he not fast on Friday. Very infrequently did he not fast on Friday, which means he fasted Friday most of the time. Whereas there is another famous hadith about it being makruh and disliked or prohibited to fast on Friday alone unless you join with it the day before or the day after it. This is Imam Malik and Imam Abu Hanifa's opinion, is that it is perfectly fine to fast just on Friday. I want to mention this clearly because there is some confusion about this out there. So you can fast on Fridays because there are hadiths to that effect. Based on the hadith of this Shamal Tirmidhi hadith that we're reading right now, that very less did he not fast on Friday, which means he fasted on Friday most of the time, according to this narration. Based on that, Imam Malik and Imam Abu Hanifa are saying that it is completely fine In fact, hasanun, it's good to fast on Friday. In fact, in Mu'atta, it mentions, Imam Malik says, I haven't heard from any one of the people of knowledge and fiqh who can be followed prohibit from fasting on Friday. It's a good fast to keep. And I've seen many people of knowledge who fast Friday. But there's a hadith in Bukhari from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu which says, none of you should fast on Friday except with a day before it or a day after it. There's a hadith in Jami' al-Saghir which mentions, لا تصوم يوم الجمعة مفردا. Don't fast just Friday alone. Imam Ahmad has related it as well, Imam Nasa'i, Imam Hakim from Janada al-Azadi. لا تصوم يوم الجمعة إلا وقبله يوم وبعده يوم. Don't fast just Friday except one day before it or after it. So you've got that clear hadith about prohibition as well. So what is the answer? Right, so we've got these two types of hadith. One is saying clearly don't fast that day alone, and the other is saying that he used to always fast that day himself. So one is a qawli hadith, one is a fi'li hadith. One is telling the action, one is giving a prohibition. So firstly, what kind of prohibition is it? Some have said it's makruh tahrimi, some say it's makruh tanzihi. But the Shafi'is, their opinion is based on the prohibition one, that you should not fast it alone. So Imam Shafi'i's opinion, the majority of Shafi'is, they say you should not fast Jumu'ah alone. So then, they would answer the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha by saying that she's not saying he fasted it alone. Yes, he fasted every Friday, but he fasted a day before it or after it. So that's the way they would explain that hadith. Another way to reconcile it is that when the Prophet ﷺ did fast on Friday, it wasn't like, I'm going to fast on Friday because it's a special day. He was going to fast this many days, it just happened to be Friday, so he fasted Friday. Normally it was Friday that he fasted. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani says that the reason he must have fasted that Friday is just to show that although he prohibited it, it's still permissible. But then the question is that he could have done it sometimes then. He didn't have to do it all the time if that was the case, just to show that it's permissible. Some say that because you've got a hadith of prohibition, you've got a hadith of permission, they each cancel the other out because you don't know which one came first, which one came afterwards. When they cancel each other out, fasting is a good thing, so why not fast? So that's why it's permissible to fast on Friday. Anyway, either way, you know the Hanafi opinion, the Maliki opinion is that it's okay to fast on a Friday. Imam Shafi'i's opinion is that you shouldn't fast on Friday. So he takes that hadith a bit more. I think that's what we have to leave with. Question is now, if the hadith of the hadith of prohibition, what is the reason behind the prohibition? Why not? Why shouldn't you fast on Friday based on that hadith? Some say that the reason for it is that it's a day of dua and ibadah. And for that, you need to be able to eat so that you have more strength to be able to focus on the main purpose of the day, which is dua and ibadah. Just like in Arafah, the Prophet ﷺ used to fast every year in Arafah, but in the year that he went for Hajj, he did not fast on Arafah, just to have the strength to be able to do the acts. That is one opinion. But then, if that was the case, then the Prophet ﷺ said, don't fast on Friday except with the day before it, after it. That's even more difficult, right? He's not saying don't fast at all, he's saying that if you are going to, don't fast for the two. Some say that, oh, it's because fasting is like a day of Eid. And on Eid, you don't fast. Because there's a hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says that Yawm al-Jum'ah, Yawm al-Eid. Yawm al-Jum'ah is your day of Eid. So, don't make your day of Eid your day of fasting. But Ibn al-Jawzi and others say that, okay, he's saying it's your day of Eid, but it doesn't have to be the same in every sense. On Eid day, it's haram to fast, but you can't say it's haram to fast here for that reason. Some say that the reason is that if you know, there's so many other things that are happening on Friday, and he prohibited it, because if it was already fasted also on Friday, then it's possible that it may have become fard on the people. So to protect them from that, he said, okay, don't fast on Fridays unless you fast both days. But again, the same kind of problem arises from that. Some say that it's because Jews, they began to emphasize the Saturday so much that they made it like that one special day where they do everything like the Christians do as well. So we don't want to make Friday like that as well. Do you understand? We don't want to make Friday like that as well, where everything is focused on Friday and then you don't do anything. Do you understand? So, wallahu a'lam, either way, it's permissible to fast on Friday. But it's better if you want to add both, just to keep that hadith in check, you can do both. But if there's one day where you can just fast that one day and it's Friday, there's nothing wrong in fasting on Friday. The ulama mentioned that the way to reconcile all of them is that if you want to fast one day of the week and the best day is Friday because maybe it's the short day at work or it's the last day of work or you don't have work or whatever, it's completely fine to fast. But generally, you should just fast for 2 days if possible. And that's the way we will conclude this. Jazakumullah khairan wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
Jazakallah khair for listening. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. And if you're finding this useful, you know, as they say, do that like button and subscribe button and forward it on to others. Jazakallah khair and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.